Hi, I'm Blaine Moores. I'm an associate professor of biochemistry at the University of Oklahoma Health Sciences Center in Oklahoma City. My lab studies the role of RNA structure and RNA editing. We use X-ray crystallography to study the structures of these RNAs. We spend a lot of time in the lab preparing our samples for structural studies, and then we also spend a lot of time at the computer analyzing the resulting data. I was seeking ways of using voice computing to try to enhance my productivity. I divide voice computing into three activities: speech to text or dictation, speech to commands, and speech to code. I'll be talking about speech to text and speech to commands today because these are two activities that are probably most broadly applicable to the workflows of people attending this conference. This talk will not be about Emacs Speaks. This is a venerable program for converting text to speech. We're talking about the flow of information in the opposite direction, speech to text. We need an Emacs Listens. We don't have one. So I had to seek help from outside the Emacs world via VoiceIn Plus. And this runs in the Google Chrome web browser, and it's very good for speech to text and very easy to learn how to use. It also has some speech to commands. However, Talon Voice is much better with speech to commands, and it's also great at speech to code. So the motivations are obviously, as I mentioned already, for improved productivity. So if you're a fast typist who types faster than they can speak, then nonetheless, you might still benefit from voice computing when you grow tired of using the keyboard. On the other hand, you might be a slow typist who talks faster than they can type. In this case, you're definitely going to benefit from dictation because you'll be able to encode as text more words in text documents in a given day. If you're a coder, then you may get a kick out of opening programs and websites and coding projects by using your voice. Then there are health-related reasons. You may have impaired use of your hands, eyes, or both due to accident or disease, or you may suffer from a repetitive stress injury. Many of us have this in a mild but chronic form of it. We can't take a 3-month sabbatical from the keyboard without losing our jobs, so these injuries tend to persist. And then you may have learned that it's not good for your health to sit for prolonged periods of time with your staring at the computer screen. You can actually dictate to your computer from 20 feet away while looking out the window, thereby giving your lower body a break and your eyes a break. I'm not God, so I have to bring data. I have two data points here, the number of words that I wrote in the June and July this year and in September and October. I adopted the use of voice computing in the middle of August. So you can see I got over a threefold increase in my output. So this is the Chrome Store website for VoiceIn. So it's only available for Google Chrome. You just hit the install button to install it. To configure it, you need to select a language. It has support for 40 languages, and it supports about a dozen different dialects of English, including Australian. It works on web pages with text areas. So it works. I use it regularly on Overleaf and 750words.com, a diffraction-free environment for writing. It also works in webmails. It works in Google. It works in Jupyter Lab, of course, because that runs in the browser. It also works in Jupyter Notebook and Colab Notebook. It should work in CloudMax. I've mapped option L to opening VoiceIn when the cursor is on a web page that has a text area. So that's the main limiting factor. So it has a number of built-in commands. You can turn it off by saying stop dictation. It doesn't distinguish between a command mode and a dictation mode. It has an undo command. When you use a command, copy that to copy a selection. The press commands are used in the browser, so you press enter to issue a command or text that has been written in a web form, and then press tab will open up the next tab in a web browser. And then scroll up and down will allow you to navigate a web page. I've put together a quiz about these commands so that you can go through this quiz several times until you get at least 90% of them correct. 90% of the questions correct in order to boost your recall of the commands. I have a Python script that you can probably pound through the quiz with in less than a minute once you know the commands. I also provide a ELISP version of this quiz, but it's a little slower to operate. These are some common errors that I've run into with VoiceIn. It likes to contract statements like I will into I'll. Contractions are not used in formal writing, and most of my writing is formal writing, so this annoys me. I will show you how I corrected for that problem. It also drops the first word in sentences quite often. This might be some speech issue that I have. It inserts the wrong word because it's not in the dictionary that was used to train it. So, for example, the word PyMOL is the name of a molecular graphics program that we use in our field. It doesn't recognize PyMOL. Instead, it substitutes in the word primal. Since I don't use primal very often, I've mapped the word primal to PyMOL in some custom commands I'll talk about in a minute. Then there's a problem that the commands that exist might get executed when you speak them, when in fact you wanted to use the words in those commands in a, during your dictation. So this is a problem, or pitfall, of VoiceIn, in that it doesn't have a command mode that's separate from a dictation mode. So you can set up through a very easy to use GUI custom voice commands mapped to what you want inserted. So this is how misinterpreted words can be corrected. You just map the misinterpreted word to the intended word. You can also map the contractions to their expansions. I did this for 94 English contractions, and you can find this on GitHub. You can also insert acronyms, and you can and expand those acronyms. I apply the same approach to the first names of colleagues. I say expand Fred, for example, to get Fred's first and last name with the spelling of his very long German name. You can also insert other trivia like favorite URLs. You can insert LaTeX snippets, and so it will handles correctly multi-line snippets. You just have to enclose them in double quotes. You can even insert BibTeX site keys for references that you use frequently. All fields have certain key references for certain methods or topics. Then it has a set of commands that are that you can customize for the purpose of speech to commands to get the computer to do something like open up a specific website or save the current writing. In this case, we have press is a mapping of is applied to the command S for saving current writing. You can change the language and you can change the case of the text. But these the speech to command repertoire is quite limited in VoiceIn. So it's now time to pick up on Talon Voice. This is a open source project. It's free. It is highly configurable via Talon Script, which is a subset of Python. You can use both either Talon Script or Python to configure it, but it's easier to code up your configuration in Talon Script. It has a Python interpreter embedded in it, so you don't have to mess around with installing yet another Python interpreter. It runs on all platforms, and it has a dictation mode that's separate from a command mode. You can activate it, and it'll be in a listening state, asleep. You just bark out Talon wake to start to wake it up, and Talon sleep to have it go into a listening state. It has a very welcoming community on in a Talon Slack channel, and then I need to point out that there's several packages that others have developed that run on top of Talon, and but one of particular note is by Pokey Rule. He has on his website some really well done videos that demonstrate how he uses Cursorless to move the cursor around using voice commands. This, however, runs on VS Code. At least that's the text editor for which he's primarily developing Cursorless. So I followed the protocol outlined by Tara Royce. She has a collection of tutorials on YouTube as well as on GitHub that are quite helpful. I followed her tutorial for installing Talon on Mac OS without any issues. And then, but allow for half an hour to an hour to go through the process. When you're done, you'll have this Talon icon appear in the toolbar on the Mac. When it has this diagonal line across it, that means it's in the sleep state. So this leads to cascading pull-down menus. This is it for the GUI interface. One of your first tasks is to select a large language model or language model that will be used to interpret the sounds that you generate as words. And the other kind of key feature is that under scripting, there's a view log pull down that opens up a window that displaying the log file. Whenever you make a change in a Talon configuration file, that change is implemented immediately. You do not have to restart Talon to get the change to take effect. So this is an example of a Talon file. It has two components. It has a header above the dash that describes the scope of the commands contained below the dash. Each command is separated by a blank line. If a voice command is mapped to multiple actions, these are listed separately on indented lines below the first line. The words that are in square brackets are optional. So I have mapped the word toggle voice in, or the phrase toggle voice in to keyboard shortcut Alt L in order to toggle on or off voice in. If I toggle voice in on, I need to immediately toggle off Talon, and this is done through this key command for Control T, which is mapped to speech toggle. Then there are here's a couple other examples. So if there's no header present, it's an optional feature of Talon files, then the commands in the file will apply in all situations and all modes. Here we have two restrictions. These commands will only work when using the iTerm2 terminal emulator for the Mac, and then only when the title of the window in iTerm2 has this particular address, which corresponds to which is what appears when I've logged into the supercomputer at the University of Oklahoma. So one of the commands in this file is check jobs. It's mapped to an alias, a bash alias CJ for check jobs, which in turn is mapped to a script called checkjobs.sh that, when it's run, returns a listing of the pending and running jobs on the supercomputer in a format that I find pleasing. So this backslash n after CJ, new line character, enters the command. So I don't have to do that as an additional step. And then likewise, here's a similar setup for interacting with a Ubuntu virtual machine. So in terms of picking up voice computing, these are my recommendations. You're going to run into more errors than you may like initially, and so you need some patience in dealing with those. And also it will take you a while to get your head wrapped around Talon, how it works. You'll definitely want to use these custom commands to correct the errors or shortcomings in the language models. And you've seen how by opening up projects by voice commands, you can reduce friction in terms of restarting work on a project. We've seen how voice in is preferred for more accurate dictation. I think my error rate is about 1 to 2%. That is 1 to 2 out of 100 words are incorrect, versus a Talon voice where I think the error rate is closer to 5%. I have put together contractions also for Talon, and they can be found here on GitHub. And I also have a quiz of 600 questions about some basic Talon commands. So I'd like to thank the people who've helped me out on the Talon Slack channel, and members of the Oklahoma Data Science Workshop, where I gave a hour-long talk on this topic several weeks ago. I'd like to thank my friends at the Berlin and Austin Emacs meetup and at the MX Research Slack channel. And I thank these grant funding agencies for supporting my work. I'll be happy to take any questions.